Could I just ask for your prayers again for a moment? If you'll pray that I'll say something that gives some, that helps you to receive some of the glory and dignity of this feast, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what the Lord wants you to hear. And let's entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We're blessed to have some Byzantine sisters here among us. They're not Muslims, as it turns out. And I had the joy of praying great vespers with them last night for this Feast of the Transfiguration, and I want to just read a couple lines to you from the Byzantine liturgy for the Transfiguration. One of the gifts of the Byzantine liturgy is that, unlike our Roman liturgy, which is very sparse, kind of giving you the raw data, the Byzantine liturgy gives you also a kind of reflection, a processing, a chewing on that data from the fathers and then taken up into the liturgical heart of the church. The Byzantine liturgy first of all says, and from Great Vespers, Christ, the light that shone before the sun, dwelt on earth in a human form. And so it lifts up our attention to this light that shines so brightly, like the sun, but shone before the sun, the light from which the sun derives its light, the heat from which the sun derives its heat, the original source poured forth and unveiled for those moments on Tabor. Makes me think of what Christopher said earlier also about Our Lady, who is younger than sin. And in a sense, Christ is younger, more original than all of the light of this world. All of the light of this world is only a participation in His light. And His eternal light of glory shines more brightly and more beautifully and shines as He wants it to also in our hearts. And then a little farther down, it says, He was transfigured before them, manifesting the splendor of original beauty. It's a nice one to add to our list of originals. Original solitude and original unity and original nakedness. And then we know original sin and original shame. But then we also remember what St. John Paul calls the original emotion of joy at Adam beholding Eve. And ultimately, it brings us back to this original beauty that precedes creation itself. Christ, who has in Himself original beauty, the splendor of original beauty, and invites our contemplation of that mystery. But then this part is so sweet, because our hearts all long to behold this original beauty. By this He strengthened them in their faith. Yet He spared them from losing their life at this sight. And so their eyes saw only as much as they could behold. And what's interesting is we often hear, we know the Transfiguration is fitted right after the profession of faith of Peter and then the prediction of the Passion. And then we have the Transfiguration, and we see that after telling them about His Passion, He then gives them it's going to be okay, let me show you what the resurrection looks like. But this invites us to read it in a little bit of a reversed way. The prediction of the Passion started to stretch their hearts to be able to receive more of His glory. As St. Teresa of Avila said, and I know this because of Christopher and TOB1, as Teresa of Avila said, we need the prayer of agony to prepare us, to strengthen us for the prayer of ecstasy. And so the prediction of the Passion, what they've just gone through, and we could even say climbing the mountain of Tabor to stretch their hearts to let them behold his glory as much as they could behold, as much as their eyes could see. So we learn a couple of very important things from this. One is that he doesn't give us any less than we can behold. God is not playing games with us, and he's not withholding himself in a kind of teasing way. At the same time, we see, in fact, if he were to give us more, he would crush us. So whatever he withholds is not for his sake or not because of some coy, whimsical desire to tease us, but he holds back so that he doesn't crush us. And we could say that it's part of his passion that he has to restrain himself because he has so much to give, and he longs to give it even so much more than we long to receive it. He is aching to give us everything, but he restrains himself for our sake. So that tells us a second thing. He knows exactly how much we can receive. And in this way, we find ourselves playing a lot of games, trying to tease him and trying to ask for more and trying to grasp after certain things. But the fact is that he really knows us. He knows us, in fact, much better than we know ourselves. He knows us in all of our fragility, our delicacy, our weakness. He knows us in our brokenness and our sinfulness. He knows the places in us that need to be healed. He knows the holes in us that need to be filled with love. He knows our capacity to receive his glory. He really knows us through and through. And he gives us exactly as much as we can behold. And the last thing that this should stir in us is a realization that he has so much more to give us. He has so much more of the sweetest things. He has so much more of the glorious things. He has so much more of that original beauty and the splendor of eternal light that he wants to shine upon us. He has so much more. And I hope that that can stir a little desire for us to say, yes, I want to sign up for this program then. I want to go through the purification. I want to embrace the cross because I know that that's the necessary purification that will allow me to behold all of his glory, which he so desperately wants to share with me. So we need our defenses. There's a reason that God clothed us with animal skins in replacement of our fig leaves. We need the time, and God is patient with us. But can we also have a little bit of urgency and a little bit of intensified desire to embrace the purification in his time, in our time, with all of that necessary patience, and yet with that great childlike desire to behold what our hearts were made for and to receive what he has placed in us, the capacity in poverty that he has placed in us to receive all of his love.